Paul Maurice has called a shot. This is going to be a charity event tonight. This is an alumni game, right? Gentlemen's agreement, no late hits, nothing crazy. But Ray told us the story of a similar scenario back in his day, right, where like the two captains had met in a room before the game and said, all right, you know, we're done. Let's just play it. Let's be smart here. And one dum-dum went running around and caught some guy with his head down and all hell broke loose.
I'm telling you.
It could happen tonight, right? Like one stupid play by one player. I don't know who it is, and you never know what could happen tonight.
I agree. And it could be one on either side where it's like, you know, trying to send a message or do something, you know. I just don't know if there's any young players that want to make an impression. Like, I don't see Adam Brooks trying to,
I got to make it
into the lineup, going to hit somebody from behind type of thing. That's just not in his DNA. He's going to try and score to show that he belongs in the lineup type of thing. I'm not lying. I've played with players in that last game, but it's a young guy gets called up. It's a, you know, somebody wants to make an impression, and they're going to play as hard as they've ever played, and everyone else is at 75%. And everyone else on the bench is like, dial it back here.
Just relax, boys. Exactly. Come on. This is where teammates are yelling at teammates.
Yeah,
saying, hey,
their own teammates.
Smarten
yeah.
up. Like, I don't want to get hit. I just want to go home.
Exactly.
Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. Have you been in any of these games, MJ, where there's a gentleman's agreement, like no hitting, no icing, no covering the puck? Let's just get the hell out of here.
Hey, I tried to play my whole career under that agreement.
Right.
Sadly, I've been in plenty of games like this. I played on some trash teams that were, you know, last 10 games, you had nothing to play for. The last three or four, you're playing with other teams that have nothing to play for. And what you guys were just talking about, I think about it now, and it almost feels wrong to tell some kid who got called up, is put in the lineup, you know, he has a chance to make an impression, and not through, you know, nonverbal communication, flat out told, hey, you got to slow down. Don't be hitting everybody. We got to get through this game. Meanwhile, this might be his one and only game in the NHL, and you have veterans telling him, just relax, pal.
Right.
Don't try so hard, which seems so wrong now, but at the time you're like, no, but I don't really want to get run through the boards and have everyone get all dialed up in this game. So when you have the opponent's coach, like Paul Maurice today said, gentleman's agreement. You know, both teams are getting ready. They're going to try to play, but keep it clean and maybe not quite as much hitting. So we know the ground rules going in. But for an offensive player, it's not so bad. Like, if you're Austin Matthews, like, okay, I don't mind a no-hitter. Turn this to an all-skill thing and see what happens. That's, I think, the worst thing in the world for the Jets, for that matter. They got some pretty skilled guys, too. So it could be a fun game to watch because no hitting, no intensity usually means more offense.
Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at it through the other lens. No goalie wants to play this game.
Nope.
Because if there's no hitting or, you know, no bearing down on a guy because it might be perceived as finishing a check, all that does is open lanes to the net. So you're right. So Matthews, and I know Marner's not playing, but Tavares, Nylander, Kyle Connor, Shifley, Wheeler, like guys like that are going, hey, this is great. I'll take five shots on goal tonight, see how this unfolds. Like, it is tough. I understand it. But I've also been the guy who's starting in net on the last game of the season because they're saving the goalie, they're saving the starting goaltender. So I'm just trying to make it through the game. These are just unique, but I hope for everyone's sake, it's a good game, but nothing to see here.
Clean, and, right? Just get out of Dodge.
Exactly.
Yeah. Get out of Dodge. That's all that matters.
Yeah, that's it. Although you can tell early, like if the goalies and the referees are in on this too, and you know it. Like they're waving off icing. You're like, that's pretty much an icing, but whatever. Like they got a plane to catch at 10 p.m. So everyone's in on the understanding that this game really doesn't matter for anything of consequence. So I think it will probably get played out like that.
With Mike Johnson, are you at all surprised that it was Marner that gets the night off tonight for Adam Brooks as opposed to it? And maybe it could have been Cap complications with Marner. I don't know, but they could only use one guy. It was Brooks, and they decided to give Marner the night off as opposed to Matthews or Tavares. Yeah. What do you make of that?
I am surprised without knowing everyone's degree of health. Like maybe Mitch is a little sore or something,
right.
But if everyone's feeling the same, I mean, of course you sit out Austin Matthews, don't you? I mean, like, it's he has nothing to prove, nothing to catch. It's not like he has any Iron Man streak to go with. He's already missed games. So you don't need him jamming up a wrist on a face-off or a knock into the boards. I would have asked Austin if he would want to sit this one out. And then even if Mitch has to play, well, guess what? Mitch, you're playing 4 minutes tonight. You're just going to sit there and be a cheerleader. We'll let Mikheyev play 22 and Wayne Simmons can play 18. Like you can have a winger out there and barely not even play him. But I was a little surprised just with the injury history of Austin Matthews and the fact that generally speaking, if you're going to play center, there is more wear and tear, like face-offs getting banged around down low. It's, you're in the traffic because you're around the puck more often. So I'd want to protect Austin Matthews as much as I could.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. Go ahead, Noodles.
No, I wanted to get your guys' thought on this. Mitch Marner, I don't think anybody can pass him in points. So I think he's fourth. Whereas Austin is tied with Rantanen. Now, I know these are individual things, but it might be a situation where it's like, okay, everyone behind Mitch, like he's solidified top five scoring, where Austin can now get to number five, if that makes sense, or catch
Mitch.
Right,
with a point tonight, he's on his own.
Right, point, yep. Exactly. That's the only thing I could think of on a non-injury, non-cap related. I'm sure that's probably far down the list, but that was the first thing I thought of, because Rantanen, I think, had a couple points last night. McKinnon's been shut down, so there's nobody else. You know, McDavid and Draisaitl are miles ahead, so it's like, okay, this is, if there's one guy who's going to sit, you know, that's what I thought. Give
His
Austin a chance
over,
to stand alone. Right, yeah.
Yeah, but I got to say, if you're Austin Matthews, if I was Austin Matthews, and don't I wish I was some days, but if I was Austin Matthews, like finishing, being able to say I'm top five by myself, I'm hoping that doesn't really resonate with him. You know, he's so much bigger than that. He's already going to win the Rocket. He's already amongst the top few players in the world. You know, finishing sixth or fifth or fourth, I would think, I don't know how much that lands on his radar.
Yeah, I agree. I was maybe overthinking it.
Looking for a reason, yeah.
But that's what it comes down to, right? Because I would have figured it would be Matthews first, even Tavares, who's older. You know, like Tavares is...
Out of respect.
Exactly. You're the captain. You've been around. You're older. Mm-hmm. You need to make sure you've got your Jets, you know, cooking come playoff time. Why don't we give you the night off? Or a defenseman. Even, you know, if it works out that way. And I know Brooks is going in, so that's probably not going to be able to work out. But listen, nothing against Mitch Marner. He's played a ton of minutes. He's played the most minutes. It could come down to that as well. It could be a little bit nicked up. Minutes, he probably feels good, and they've made the call here. And ultimately, you just hope everyone gets out of here with their health on both sides of things. We were talking about desperation in the room based on Chris Letang's comments from earlier, where he conceded that there is some desperation because they realize in Pittsburgh, Sid's getting older, Gino's getting older, you got to take advantage. I'm sure the same mentality applies in Washington with Ovi, with Chara. I think it should with the Leafs. There's a few different teams that probably could apply here. Is there one in particular for you where you can understand that desperation narrative maybe applies to them more than everyone else?
Well, I mean, I don't want to be the hometown. Like, I think it might be Toronto. While they're not old, their group as they know it is going to be different. And all these guys they brought in to win have not won. So Wayne Simmons, Joe Thornton, Jason Spezza, this core, Freddie Anderson, soon to be Morgan Rielly, maybe Zach Hyman. Think about all those guys and how they're wrapped up into the fabric of your team and all the success that they've known and all the disappointments they've had. Like, I think that it's not like they're not going to be good. So in that sense, it's a bit different. But I believe these guys, when you've been around each other for 3, 4, 5 years together, good times, bad times, that you get close. You have no choice but to get close. And I think for that reason, they should feel a sense of urgency that a chance this good, and you factor in the North Division and the fact the Canadian team's going to get to the semifinals. There is no Tampa. There is no Boston. Maybe even Florida. Like, they have as good a chance this year as this group will probably ever have to go deeper. Ever. They may go deeper some other year, but this is the year they have the best chance. And so I don't know if that has to be articulated. Maybe one of the veterans has to stand up sometime in the next 4 or 5 days. Say, listen, guys, one day at a time, but we have to appreciate this moment. I remember Hayes back in 99, my second year in the league. I was with Toronto. We made the semifinals. We lost to Buffalo, who lost to Dallas. And I remember thinking at the end of that year, that's okay. We'll be here next year. Like 100%, I thought, I'll be on the Leafs, and we'll be back deep in the playoffs. And neither one of those things were true. I was down in Tampa playing garbage time on the worst team in the league, and the Leafs, you know, they got to the 0-2, I guess, when O was there. They got to the or 0-2, they got to the semifinals one more time, but they never got further. And I never got that far again in my life. So I think it has to, that story has to be pressed upon the young guys. And I think they know it by now, that just because they're great and the team's been good, they can't assume every year they're going to get a chance to go deep. They've never even got out of the first round. Like, all this stuff makes Toronto, to me, you know, a hot button, urgent, seize the moment kind of team.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's who I had at number one. I honestly think it's their, I think they have the best opportunity to go on a run here, more so than any other team I can remember in 30 years, including the early 90s, where it wasn't expected that they were going to go back-to-back to the conference final. That team in 99 that you were on, Johnny, the previous year wasn't that good. Like, you guys had really a terrible team, really good year in 99. You guys won the division, and everything came together, and Pat Quinn and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think the expectation at any point was, wow, they're really good. They're going to make it to a conference final. Same thing in 02, like, really good team. But the Leafs are clearly the favorite, I think, in the first two series they're going to play.
Clearly.
Like, clearly the favorite, whatever the combination is. Clearly,
even if it's Edmonton?
Absolutely against Edmonton, their favorite. They should be favorite.
It wouldn't be by much, though, don't you think?
I would think it'd be by, I mean, by gambling parlance, given that I'm the Joe Gambler with Hayes now. I think it would be by a pretty significant margin. Yeah, I don't think it'd be a coin flip kind of, at least by the odds. I think they'd be pretty heavily favored.
I think so too. I think they'd be minus 250, minus 300, you know, up against Edmonton.
I know the Leafs beat them three times in a row, but since that time, I think Edmonton may have a better record than the Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last 2 months of the season.
Yeah. It's close, but listen, Edmonton. I'm not sleeping on Edmonton. I just personally, I think the Leafs are a better team. I think they've proven that all year. And
I'm just saying. Like, I don't think anything is a slam dunk. I think you have to respect.
Well, relatively speaking, is what I'm saying. Compared to past years, Boston and Washington and back. Like, if you know, that's what I'm suggesting.
Yeah,
I'm not guaranteeing they're in the conference final in eight games and they sweep.
No, don't get me wrong. I would have them favored too. My point is like I think this is the best opportunity for the Leafs. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think this is, I don't think this is a must win, but I think this is the best potential path to get to where you want to be because of how well they played, how well their team is constructed. But my point is I think you got to take it like one series at a time, because you know Montreal's going to throw everything they have and they might think outside the box. And then if Edmonton gets by Winnipeg, I still think Winnipeg's going to throw everything they can at Edmonton.
Sure.
And that's going to be, it'll just be interesting to see, because I started to go back and look at like records, and I know, does a regular season record against a team mean anything? Do you think Tampa's going, geez, Florida beat us a bunch of times this year?
I don't think they should.
I don't think Tampa thinks that, but I bet Florida does. You know what I mean? I think the team that's lost them, they're like, no big deal. We got this, no problem. And Tampa should feel that. But if you don't I believe Florida goes, you know what? We have a sense of belief in our group because of what we did. So, you know, it might not hurt the team that's lost, but I bet it helps the team that wins. And I think in this year where they played so many times, you know, if you were able to go 7-2 against the team, like, I think there's something to that. There might be a matchup situation that doesn't favor the team that loses. It's not just hot streak, cold streak, bad goaltending, strange call when it's 7-2 or 8-1, whatever it might be. That's where I worry about Winnipeg, because Edmonton rolled on them. McDavid had 22 points in 9 games. 22. Right. And the way that Winnipeg plays, the fact that they give up lots of rush chances and rely on their goaltender and try to outscore the other skill, Well, that's the wrong two guys to do that with, because they're better at that than you are. And right. So that's where I'm just, you know, that's where I think this year specifically was so many games that maybe we could put more into the regular season series than we usually do when they're, you know, when you play four or five times and they're spread out all over the course of a year.
Well, it's go time as of tomorrow night, right. Boston, Washington. And it's going to be a wild couple of months. And we always appreciate you finding time for us, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, boys. Have a good weekend.
You got it. There he is, Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst.
We forgot to bring up the race with him.
Oh, I just assumed that. Yeah, you're right. I forgot the grappler said he had seen it.
That's
on me. Believe me, this isn't going to stop. Next time we see Johnny or talk to Johnny or hear from Johnny, there will be comments because Al's brother's still trending online.
It is. And I wasn't, like, I'm not trying to be negative here on matchups. I think this is the Leafs' best opportunity to go far and to get on a run here and do something special. My point is, I was looking at matchups last night, and I'm like, man, you know, like Edmonton's played some great hockey in the last couple of months. Like, do you factor in head-to-head? Do you factor in how well they played lately? Do you factor in, like, that's what's crazy, because I thought right away, like, now Tampa's been there, done it. That probably was a bad example. Because I don't think Tampa cares how well Florida played against him in the regular season.
No.
Tampa knows how to play. But then I thought Colorado, St. Louis. You know, like, St. Louis didn't have a great season. But St. Louis, you got Ryan O'Reilly going, yeah, we're all right. We feel
good. Yeah, we're good.
I
think this year the underdogs are going to be puffing their chests out more than you think. And that could go against where the Leafs are at right now, where they are going to be the favorite. Once you get to a second round, third round, I mean, obviously, favorites are, it's difficult to really get a read because that team's a good team that's in a good place and has put themselves there.
And to your point, like, we'll know after the first round, let's say it's the Leafs and Edmonton, how well did Edmonton play against Winnipeg? How well did the Leafs play against Habs?
Yep.
Like, you know, who's firing? Who needs to play better? Like, then you kind of readjust your mindset and go, wow, they barely scraped through, or boy, there's some things here, or there's an injury, like that type of stuff. You're right. Like, you reset it. But I was in my mind just trying to, like, go through some of the matchups last night and go, how does that look? What did their season series look like?
I think if you're looking at all of the potential Canadian matchups, the one that it would be closest in terms of a coin flip would be Toronto-Edmonton, and deserves to be based on what they've done this year. So, you know, I think Edmonton's a favorite against Winnipeg. Clearly, the Leafs are a big favorite against Montreal. They still got to do it. And I do believe, regardless of what happens, unless massive injuries take place, the Leafs would be favored against Edmonton. But by no means is it a lock. But
I just wondered, like, how much, like, that, I guess. But you know what?
We'll find out, hopefully.
Why even talk about it until it presents itself?
It very well could be here within the next 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks.